There once was a man named Samuel. He was the last judge of Israel and a prophet. He served God during a time of significant instability and volatility in the lives of the ancient peoples. It was about 1,050 years before the birth of Jesus, and the tribes of Israel had settled into Palestine, the Promised Land. But there was so much infighting and cursing among them that they lacked unity and solidarity as a people. There was no king, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. They no longer concerned themselves with what was right in the eyes of God. Israel's enemies were mighty and united in their efforts to destroy them. It was a strenuous time full of uncertainty, when the word of the Lord was rare and visions were not widespread. It is in the midst of this that Samuel rises up as a leader, binding the tribes together and preparing them for a major shift as they become a united nation under the royal leadership of King David. But what was it that enabled Samuel to see the dim glimmer of the lamp of God that had not yet been extinguished, when no one else could? And not only see it, but to respond. To understand, we have to go back to the very beginning of the book of Samuel and be with his mother Hannah in her despair. Hannah was the second wife of Elkanah, and she was obsessed with her inability to bear him children. As if her battle with infertility isn't enough agony in and of itself, the other woman in her husband's life, who is able to bear him children, continually mocks and derides her. Hannah is depressed, to say the least. She suffers from uncontrollable crying, loss of appetite, sadness of heart, distress, anxiety, and irritability. Her grief is so deep and intense, it is beyond words. Her lips make movement, but no sound comes forth. Her life feels completely out of control. And so Hannah goes to the one person who she knows to be in control and desperately cries out to the one who can meet her need, God. She is determined to pray through her problems. Upon witnessing her anguish in the temple, Eli, the priest, mistakes her fervency and persistence as drunkenness. She prays boldly and with expectation, asking God to remember her. Hannah is true and real. She is honest and gives voice to her pain and sorrow, demonstrating the importance of taking all that we are to the Lord. The scriptures say that the Lord did indeed remember her, and that in due time she conceived and bore a son, whom she named Samuel. Hannah recognizes Samuel as a gift from God, one which was never meant to be hers to keep. He is the Lord's. She has been granted, if even for just a little while, an opportunity to care and love for Samuel. She vows to keep Samuel as pure as possible, and as soon as he is weaned, she gives to God what is God's. Elkanah and Hannah present Samuel to the priest Eli to be raised in the temple at Shiloh. We don't know much more about Samuel's continued relationship with his birth parents, other than he sees them once a year when they come to the temple offering sacrifices, and Hannah always brings him a little homemade linen robe. What we can surmise is that Hannah's grace, her modeling of talking and listening to God, and the impact of being raised in the knowledge that from his very inception he was a child of God, influenced the course and direction of Samuel's life and his ability to hear and respond to the Lord's call. Which brings us to today's story, where we meet a young Samuel living in the temple, being raised by the priest Eli. Samuel is lying in the temple of the Lord in the same space as the Ark of God when he hears a voice, and not just any voice, but a voice calling his name. Now, Samuel may have had a holy birth narrative and a religious young life to the extreme, but Samuel is still a little boy hearing weird noises in the night while sleeping within a few feet of a box containing the presence of God. I'd be spooked too. Samuel, Samuel. He takes off running to the bedside of his guardian. Please let it be Eli. Please let it be Eli. Here I am. What are you doing up? I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And it happens again. And again. Thankfully, on the third awakening, Eli does not threaten Samuel as perhaps we would. You've had your glass of water. You've been to the bathroom. I've tucked you in and given you kisses. If you get up one more time. Rather, he takes a moment to respond with compassion. And in doing so, something in Eli flickers with recognition. Even though his personal life is not as it ought to be, and his sons have compromised the future of Israel, and will eventually lose the ark, Eli remembers that the God of Israel, the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, of Rebekah and Sarah and Hannah, is a God who speaks. He speaks and creation comes into being. Life emerges. This is who God is. And even as God can speak to these, surely God can speak to a child like Samuel. So Eli says to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Sure enough, Samuel goes back to bed, lies down, and hears his name being called again. "Samuel! Samuel!" He does as he was instructed and says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." But the story doesn't end there. The call itself is not the whole story. The God who calls us into the divine presence also commissions us. "See, I'm about to do something." Samuel's openness changed his life, and thereby the future of the people of Israel forever. His openness is a model for any faithful person of God. In the church, we speak of a sense of call, not just for clergy, but for everybody. Although most of our call narratives are not merely as dramatic as Samuel's, rarely, if ever, and honestly, I'm not recommending anyone do this, are we dropped off on the church's doorstep by our mother, who dedicates us to the service of God's name. Nonetheless, we are invited to listen deeply to where and what God is calling us to. The prayer is a simple one. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." We have to remember that to be a servant is to be a helper, an assistant. Jesus calls us to be more than just admirers, but rather active disciples. God is doing infinitely more than we can ever ask or imagine, whether we're paying attention or not, listening and seeing or not. The question then becomes, will you join God in imagining and enacting the kingdom of God here and now? We have no guarantee that we will serve our call in easy days. On the contrary, every era has its own peculiarities and God-filled silences. The call is to continue to listen for the voice, even in what seems to be an empty void. And our response, our prayer, is to speak through action what we have heard. In just a few minutes, we will recognize those who have completed 4 years of education for ministry here at St. Patrick's, marking a time of transition and change as they have listened for God and with God, sometimes hearing and seeing more clearly than others, but always with the assurance the lamp of God has not gone out. Today, they embark on new lives as educated lay people, fortified by the love and support of their community. We send them forth as listening servants with our prayer for God's guidance, protection, and strength as they respond to a new call. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.